Hello again, friends. We start out in Mark chapter 1 today. Question: would you rather go to a church with amazing miracles every week or with great teaching every week? And which one do you think Jesus is more likely to show up for? Miracles or teaching? We're going to see both of them here. Jesus was a miracle worker, and Jesus also came to preach. So which one do you think was more important? And for you today, which one makes for a healthy church? Now, I know it doesn't have to be one or the other, but just think with me on this one. Mark chapter 1 jumps in very quickly to the ministry of Jesus. In the first 13 verses, John the Baptist prepares the way. Jesus is baptized, the Father is pleased, and Satan tries to tempt Jesus in the desert. In verse 14, Jesus is ready to start ministry. And watch the words, the very first words about Jesus' work. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is important. Jesus was all about the message. The kingdom of God has come near. It's an invitation. God's kingdom has come to you. You don't have to go on a great journey or undertake a mighty conquest to find it. You can join his kingdom right here. If you make God your king, you are part of God's kingdom. But what if you don't belong in God's kingdom? What if you're not good enough? Hey, that's the good news. Jesus can get us in. He came to us. He paid the full price of citizenship. That's why in verse 15 he says, "Repent and believe the good news." In other words, change your mind about your sin and turn and follow Jesus. And speaking of follow, that's exactly what Jesus says to each of his new disciples. He starts with two fishermen named Simon and Andrew in verse 17. "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Now, just so you don't think this is something out of a zombie movie, it helps to understand that "follow me" was a known phrase in their context. It was spoken by a rabbi to one of his talmidim, or disciples. In Jesus' time, a rabbi was a local or traveling teacher, guiding students through the scriptures and helping them grow in faith and understanding. Jewish kids in Galilee learned a lot of scripture. When students grew up, a select few of the best students might ask their rabbi if they could follow him to learn his ways as a disciple. On rare occasions, a rabbi might even invite the student. When Jesus said, "Follow me," it was an invitation to follow in his footsteps, to observe his ministry and learn his ways, to become more and more like him as a disciple. It was quite an honor to be invited by any rabbi. To be invited by Jesus would be the adventure of a lifetime. I wonder sometimes if the disciples knew that their lives were about to change, or that the world would change. I don't know how much they understood just yet, but they trusted Jesus enough to take the first steps. Now back in verse 18, notice that they had to leave something in order to follow. As we consider what it means to follow Jesus, the same will be true for us. Jesus' invitation still stands, and there is still, as always, a leaving behind and a stepping forward. So Simon and his brother Andrew follow. Simon will later be called Peter, by the way. And Jesus moves on to find two more brothers, James and John. Different John this time. And they, too, leave what they have and follow Jesus. And check out what Jesus does next. In verse 21, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus is teaching, and there's a key word here about how Jesus taught. He taught with authority. Authority is a kind of power. But not just strength or energy. Authority is power with legitimacy, the right to exercise that power. And the people take note. One of those people is demon-possessed. Now, as you read, watch how the demons respond to Jesus. They know who he is, and they respond to his authority. Jesus casts the demon out of the man, and in verse 27, the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." And all those amazed people start telling all the other people. In verse 28, the news spreads fast. Man, people start bringing the sick and possessed from all over. The whole town comes to Jesus' door, and he heals, and he casts out demons. But something curious, Jesus keeps telling the healed not to go tell everyone else. Why is that? Well, when Jesus heads out early in the morning to get some solitude, the disciples show up to tell him, "Everyone is looking for you." But in verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Did you catch that? Jesus came to preach. It's about the message. It's about the invitation to God's kingdom. And all the hype building up over miracles was getting in the way of the message. Jesus says, "Let's go where I can preach. That is the reason that I'm here." So then, why did he do the miracles? Well, for one, out of compassion. Jesus cared. But there's another reason. In the Bible, miracles are often called signs and wonders. Now, a wonder is something that makes you stop and think, as in, "I wonder how on earth that happened." It gets your attention. And a sign is something that points or gives direction. The sign itself is not the main thing. Just like John the Baptist had said, "I am not the main guy. The one who comes after me, he's the one." A sign points. Think about it this way. Say I'm driving to Disney World. On the side of the road, a billboard says, "Disney World," with a big picture of Mickey pointing the way to the entrance. Now if I pull the minivan over, jump out with my kids in tow, and we all go hug the billboard, you'd say, "Wait, Chris, that's just a sign. The Magic Kingdom is that way. Follow the sign, don't hug it. Don't miss the point." Get it? Mickey is pointing. Don't miss the... Never mind. But the same truth applies to miracles. Watch how careful Jesus is with miracles. He keeps telling people not to tell everyone about them. He doesn't want the miracles to become the main thing. They're pointing to something greater, to a kingdom far better than Mickey's kingdom. Now, this is a great lesson for us starting out. We're going to read about a lot more miracles here in Mark, and you may see some in your own life. But don't hug the miracle. Look for the sign. Where is it pointing you? What is it teaching you? In your life and in your church, keep your priorities straight. The supernatural stuff is awesome when God is in it. But in your ministry, focus on the kingdom stuff. Love God, love your neighbor, and teach the word. Read Mark 1. Watch Jesus' authority as he casts out demons. Feel his compassion as he heals the sick. Hear his wisdom as he teaches, and follow the signs. And as you read, understand that Jesus does not invite us to simply believe a set of facts or ponder some philosophy. And he doesn't invite us to join an institution. He invites us to join him on a journey. He invites us to follow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.